I'm thinking of a person who's probably doing this work quite near us right now as I speak. In a hospital or a nursing home, rehab facility, quite near us. It's probably a woman doing this work. So I'll say that she has a bowl of warm water and a soft cloth, and she's cleaning a patient's skin, cleaning it of urine and feces and dried blood. All the mess that remains after surgery or an injury or childbirth. Again and again, she rinses out the cloth, warms it with fresh water, and gently, gently touches this person's skin until it is perfectly clean and able to heal. She's kneeling at their feet, below their bed, so as to get everywhere she needs to get. This is sacred work. Caring for another person, especially a person who's very vulnerable. Protecting that vulnerability by treating the job seriously and being tender, not briskly as if to get it over with, or as if she's washing an object, but mindful of the person, preserving their dignity at a time when their most private feelings and body parts have been laid bare. A time when they're hurt and maybe afraid and very, very vulnerable. What sacred work. How do we convey our respect for somebody's work? Lots of different ways. We're going to share some of them in a little bit. Maybe through compensation. We pay them well. Maybe through societal respect, they have a job that people in general think is worthy and worthy of celebrating. Sometimes we tell them straight out, that's what you do? What wonderful work. I don't think on any of these measures that woman in the hospital would be considered very far up from the bottom rank of the workers there. This work she does is not compensated well. It doesn't get a lot of respect. Work with people's bodily fluids seldom does. And I doubt many people are stopping to tell her, that's wonderful work you're doing, and you're doing it well. When we think about these measures or other measures of showing our respect for the dignity of work, what do you think is the most respected work in this culture? Would you just call it out or put it on Zoom and I'll repeat it so everybody can hear it? What do you think when you say, what's a respected job? Tell us about your culture. What jobs are really respected here? Teachers. Doctor. Minister. Aw. What? Lawyer. Her teachers again. Anybody up on Zoom, go ahead and put it there and I'll see it. What's that?
Athletes.
Scientists. Firefighters. Finance, emergency tax.
Engineers.
Actors and actresses. I think I'm hearing different measures here, because some of these are clearly not paid particularly well. But they're deeply respected. Jesse said teacher right out, and other people have called that out. Don't tend to be paid very well. And the younger the people they teach, the less they get paid. I do not understand the logic of that, but that's where we're at. And then there's things like athletes and actors and actresses that we may respect a great deal. Certainly they're compensated very highly, at least the very highest level of them. I've noticed for a long time that the best 100 kindergarten teachers in the country are not paid as well, nearly as well, remotely as well, as rather mediocre actors and athletes. Yeah. So we have it a little bit mixed up, I'd say. I'd like to get personal. I'd like us to take a little time. Almost everybody in this room has worked some kind of job. And volunteer jobs are cool too. And just break up into pairs. William is gonna put you in pairs if your group is big enough, or just have you in a room there on Zoom. And take a moment. Would you put the slide up there for me, Kevin, the first slide, to answer these, to tell these questions to each other, the answers to these questions. A time that your work was treated with the dignity it deserved, and how you knew. You know, what did people do? What was the sign that it was treated well? And a time that somebody did not treat your work with dignity, and again, what told you that there was not respect for the work you were doing? Would you just break into pairs and share those things with each other, both, you know, each sharing both of these things? And I know that can be quite loud, so if that makes it very difficult for you to hear, please do go on out to the lobby. I'm sorry that's the way it has to work, but it's just, this is the louder room. And I'll call you back in a couple minutes. Those two questions.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. All right. I'm going to call you back so that we can hear. I feel like I need to do that youth group thing. If you can hear me, clap once. If you can hear me, clap twice. If you can hear me, clap three times. You don't usually even have to get to three. It works so well. I am glad that you don't want to stop these conversations. Please continue them, sneaky minister trick, after the service. But I'd love to be able to share them, share a couple of the things that people shared more widely right now. So if there's something, again, put it in the Zoom chat if you're on Zoom, or something you want to call out that you shared, or that, obviously, if it's okay with your conversation partner, they shared, call it out, and I'll repeat it so everybody can hear it. What was a time that you felt respected, that the dignity of your work was respected? And what did that for you? May I share? Stephen is a music teacher as well as a marvelous pianist, and he said, oh, I'm sorry, a math teacher. I just assumed. The multi-talented, Veronica even told me that. As a math teacher, students often say thank you just as they're leaving the classroom, and that's a measure of thank you, respect for what I've just done. Anybody else have an example of when they felt, how they know that their work is valued and respected? Yes, please. Diane. I'm going to just share that with everybody. Diane had a physical, she's a counselor, and she had a physical crisis with a client.
And he was a 10-year-old that was trying to destroy property and kill himself. And my boss, I called her, and she came and helped me. And so we were able to hold him without harming him until we were able to get help.
So
this was a respect because she was in a position of authority.
Mm-hmm. Just do what needs to be done. So Diane told a story of working with a 10-year-old boy who was threatening to destroy property and kill himself, and that her supervisor came and joined her in holding him in a way that could keep him from harming himself and show respect to him, and what respect that showed for Diane's work to come on down to that level and do what needed to be done. Thank you. That's a great example. Fran. Thank you. Fran and Laura are in very different fields, but both said that when you have a good boss, they give praise and thank you and appreciation for your work, and so you feel, yeah, wonderful, across, no matter what field. Okay, the bad news. Anybody have an example of a time that you did not feel respected and why that was? Feel like the work that you did was not given the dignity it deserved? Yes. Who's that? Barbara. Were you raising your hand, Barbara? No. Yeah, just call to me and I'll say it to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to, so people don't zone out. Barbara's saying, when she started in college, her father wanted her to work, also work a job for money to develop a good work ethic.
And my father was a design engineer across the river from our house at Oldsmobile. So I wanted to work at Oldsmobile because it was well known that's one of the best paying jobs you can have if you can get a job there.
Mm-hmm. I love the way you're pausing for me to do this. And her father was a design engineer at Oldsmobile, and she thought, oh, I'll go work there. That's the best paying job you can have. It's well known and respected.
So I went across the river to the office to fill in an application and get a job there. And the guy who's taking the application said, no. How many words a minute do you type? You will be a secretary. That's the only job you have. No, I go to school and I'm working and I don't have time. I won't have time family. You have to be strong and fast. And I looked at him, and that little four-year-old girl inside me.
All right, I'm gonna say this for everybody who needs a mic. Thank you. I can't act like Barbara. Woo! And as you can tell, it has a happy ending. So she went across and she filled out an application. She was hoping for an assembly job, and the guy said, "How many words a minute can you type?" And she did this great. The body language is so key, isn't it, to conveying respect or disdain. The only job that was available to her was being a secretary. But she insisted, she dropped to the floor, showed him how many push-ups she could do, and she got the final assembly job. So, sometimes it works out. Well, thank you for that example. Now, yes. Uh-huh.
I had to work. And then the job we got in McDonald's things. I was in charge of fries. And I was really nervous. And I was during the evening, so everyone was there.
Okay, hold on a moment. So Lee's saying she was a junior in high school, she got a job at McDonald's, she was in charge of fries, and in the evening oh my gosh. She slipped as she was walking by the fries. That's got to be a slippery spot, right? Frying oil that hits the floor. She slipped and fell, and everybody, including the boss, applauded. I am so sorry. And you hold on to it, right? All these years later from being a junior in high school. Thank you for those examples, Lee and Barbara. Now, something else that conveys disrespect, and maybe some of your examples were this, and I know one of the ones I thought of was, is too much inequity. This is where our jet pig and our theme of equity come in. You know, if hard work is something to respect, and we generally say it is, then society-wide, we might observe that people are working longer hours and being paid less in real dollars year over year. Certainly, if you look back decades, it's quite striking. In the same time, productivity is up. The US workforce is working hard, making things happen, but wages are stagnant. Not surprisingly, this also creates inequity. Would you put up the slide so we just have that, so we can start memorizing? This is the E in our jet peg. Equity. If you're familiar with the previous statement of our principles, you can see that we've chose to use some of the same language that has worked so well. Equity. We declare that every person is inherently worthy and has the right to flourish with dignity, love, and compassion. And we covenant to use our time, wisdom, attention, and money to build and sustain fully accessible and inclusive communities. Like Mouse there. You need four books, Mouse, we're going to get you the four books. Now, it's very interesting to look at what, as a country, as a culture, yeah, please just leave it up there. Maybe people will memorize it. You know, maybe it'll sink in. So what we think would be an equal society, what we would love to see, if we could just snap our fingers and make it so, what we believe we have right now in terms of equality in this society, and what we really have. And for this, and I'll again put the link in the, I feel like my favorite podcaster, a link in the show notes. I'll put a link on the webpage for this service to this video, because it's about 6 minutes long and it's really worth watching. But I'll sum up a few things. It's on wealth inequality in this country in specific, and of course wealth and income are different, and I'm mixing them all up here, but here's what people would love to see. 92% of the people asked. gave an idea of here's the distribution of wealth. If you take the five quintiles, you know, the poorest up to the richest, 20%, how would they like it to be distributed? And these 92% do not need it to be completely equal. They had the top 20% having about a third of the wealth. And then the bottom 20% didn't have a full 20%. They had about one-tenth of the total wealth. Okay. That's what people wish for. What people think we have is quite different. They think that it's divided so that the top 20 have about 60% of the wealth, not about 30-35%. About 60%, so about twice as much as people would like to see. And the bottom 20% have about 3%, so only about a third of what they would like to see. That's what people said overall when they were asked, what do you think the equality situation is like in America? By the way, this is data, the video was made about 11 years ago, and the data is a couple years older than that. So just make all this more extreme, because it's only continued to move in this direction. Here's what is the reality. The bottom 80% of people, not the bottom 20%, the bottom 80% have 7% of the wealth. The top 1%, not the top 20%, the top 1% of people in wealth have 40% of the wealth. It's only gotten worse since this was made. People who said what they thought was happening, and especially what they thought the ideal was, were willing to tolerate quite a lot of inequality. They said, you know, somebody who's very wealthy might make 100 times what the poorest people make. But the way we have it is the wealthiest have 380 times, not the poorest, but the average worker. I'm thinking that you're saying amen, not because you want it that way, but you're saying, preach it, sister. Preach it, sister is also welcome. So what does it mean to commit to equity in such a system? Now, there's lots and lots of, there are lots and lots of economic policy changes that people would like to suggest, all the way from remove all restrictions. We should, you know, I read that part of that reading was somebody speaking over 100 years ago saying, could we have a minimum wage, please? Some people would say that's just causing problems. Get away from the minimum wage and all other sorts of controls. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, there's lots of suggestions like a universal basic income so that nobody gets too poor, no matter how much inequality there is. Making sure the minimum wage is a living wage, or at least raising the minimum wage and maybe indexing it to inflation so we don't have to have this fight every 40 years and people get way behind before we bring them up a little bit after a 10-year fight. Just a thought. Lots of things we could do in returning to the taxation we had in the 50s and 60s, say, when our income equality and wealth equality and taxation were all, well, the wealth inequality was much better, the income inequality was much better, and the taxation was much more progressive. Highest taxes, highest paid people got paid much more. Lots of other ideas, ways to tax wealth, for example. But there's also, if we're committed to equity, as we covenant to do, as a Unitarian Universalist congregation, then we also need to commit to a change of heart in our culture, helping make that happen. I like that word flourishing, that we all want to be able, everybody to be able to flourish. Now, economics can be cherry-picked, even worse than the Bible. You can, you know, pick an economist to support any position you may have. But many, many economists say that too much inequality is really bad for the economy overall, for the culture overall. Not that everything has to be perfect parity. The woman who's t- tenderly cleaning somebody's bloody thighs in the hospital, getting paid exactly what the neurosurgeon is getting paid. But more equality and a sense of equity, everybody having what they need if they're working hard at work that we consider worthwhile. Most economists reckon when we all flourish, we all flourish. I want to tell you a quick story about the dignity and worth of work to suggest something we might need to change internally and watch for in the hearts of the people around us. Maybe you've heard this story in another context. A man comes along and he sees a stonemason at work. Stonemason is laying down the mortar and setting the stone in place, and the man says, "What's that you're doing?" The stonemason, probably thinking, "Why are you asking me this question?" says, "I'm laying stone. I'm a stonemason." Okay. So the man walks along, and undaunted, because, you know, this is a not real life, but an illustrative story, he sees another stonemason working, and he says, "What are you doing there?" Man says, "I'm building a building." And he goes on around the building site. It's a big building site. And he sees a third stonemason and says, "What's that you're doing?" And the man says, "I'm building a cathedral." Now, you can imagine that the attitudes that these three stonemasons have about work, their own work, the dignity and worth of it, make a big difference in how they feel when they go off to work. Whether you're just laying stone, or you're building a building, or you're building a cathedral. But it's also mirrored in our attitudes towards people's work. In this culture, we treat a lot of people as if what they're doing is not worthwhile. I mean, I was just listening to a song on the way over, complete coincidence that I tuned into this music I haven't listened to for a long time, and the singer is playing a guy who's turned to crime because he's so broke, and he says, "Yeah, I could get a job, but I got my pride. I ain't working in no hamburger stand." And I thought, that's the way a lot of people feel. I've heard people say, if you want a living wage, stop working at McDonald's and get yourself a real job. Well, you know, if serving hamburgers is not worthy, then why is it a multi-billion dollar business? People want hamburgers served, so the work is worthy, is it not? And if you work full time at it and do it well, you should be able to live on that. Doesn't seem crazy. I think we justify the terrible pay by saying that the work has no dignity. If the work is worth doing, it's worth compensating well, it's worth doing well, and it's worth our respect. So when we hear those attitudes of disrespect, whether they're expressed just like I just said them, or if they're expressed by the belief that somebody should be able to struggle along on one-third of what's a living wage where they live. In the interest of equity, the value we share, we can challenge that. That would be a fine way to honor the laborers and workers that we honor this weekend.